Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke, the 19th chapter, the 28th through the 40th verse. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, the people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice, with all the deeds of power that they had seen, and saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" So ends the reading of the word of the Lord.
All right. So we've been talking about here through the season of Lent this whole theme of a journey, that Lent is this journey that we're on and on our way to Easter. And there's a place in a journey when you've almost arrived. With the staff, in our staff meeting, we were telling some almost there stories. When you're on the trip and you're just about to your destination, the moment you see the city skyline of wherever you're headed and you think, okay, we're almost there, or the moment where you see the horizon of the beach and, you know, we've made it to the ocean, or the moment the pilot says, we're now descending into whatever city, please return to your seats and fasten your seatbelts and return your tray tables to their upright position, and you say, okay, we're just about there, we're almost there. The home stretch, the last mile. I was telling the staff, I remember there was a family vacation. I was probably about 9 years old, and we went to Colorado. My parents had some friends. My dad had an army buddy from way back that they lived in Denver, and so we drove from eastern Missouri all the way to Colorado. And my dad had this Volvo, this 1980 era Volvo, and 12 hours of driving. And I have two sisters, and the three of us were in the back. And so you can imagine how that went, 12 hours in the car, all of us kind of piled in there. And I remember even at one point my dad pulled off of I-70 somewhere in Kansas and took me out of the car, and we stood with cars zipping by on the interstate, and he's behind the car and he's giving me this lecture about, you better shape up or you know, we're going to turn this car around. Does anybody ever turn the car around? I don't know. But now you know that Kansas has its own beauty to it. It does, and people from Kansas will tell you that the sunsets are beautiful, but those are long miles if you've driven across the Plain States, across Kansas or Nebraska, and even eastern Colorado too. I mean, you hit the state line and you think, okay, Colorado, here we go, we're mountains, and it's the same as Kansas for a while, isn't it? And so, but there was a moment I remember, a moment where we looked up and we were close enough, and you could see, sort of hazy, but you could see the mountains to the west, sort of like this. You could finally see the mountains there, the Front Range of the Rockies. Now, Now, I grew up in Missouri, and it's sort of similar if you grew up in Indiana. We don't have mountains. It's sort of like whenever I see the ocean, still I freak out a little bit because I'm used to land, and you stand there on the beach, and you just see water that doesn't stop until the other side of the globe, and in a way, my mind can't even process that. And it's the same way when I see mountains, I think, wow, what is that? I don't know how to make sense of it. And so as this 9-year old looking out of the looking out of the front windshield of the Volvo there going west and seeing those mountains like that and thinking, wow, what is that? And there was the feeling when we saw those mountains of, we're almost there. Well, we've been trudging along here through the season of Lent, and we're almost there. We have 40 days to the season of Lent. We've 34 days down, just a week left. I mean, this is the home stretch here of the season of Lent, sort of like the last mile of the marathon. You hear the roar of the finish line, and you kind of pick up your pace a little bit and say, okay, we're going to make it. If you've given up something for the season of Lent, I bet you're thinking about Easter right about now. I remember one year I gave up coffee, and if you know me, you know I like good coffee. And so when it got to Holy Week, I had the beans picked out I was going to have on Easter morning, and I was ready to go, and you know, I was just prepared. Well, now you know that Lent is more than just about whether you've given up chocolate or not. It's about Jesus. And here through this season, we've been following Jesus. And in a way, for Jesus, it's almost there. We've been following Jesus for a few months now. If you go back a few months to the season of Advent, which we started at the beginning of December, and we talked about the expecting and the waiting and the hoping for Christ to come. And then at Christmas, we celebrated his birth. We say, okay, he's here, he's come. At Epiphany, we celebrated that he was revealed to the Magi, the wise men. And then for a couple of months, we just kind of followed Jesus along through his ministry, his parables, his teachings, the things that he did. And now we follow him to Jerusalem. And where we find him today is he's right outside the city. He can see the city walls, the buildings, the temple. Now think about it. For Jesus in his time, for people, if they went on a trip, they walked or they rode an animal, and so it took them a few days to get to Jerusalem. And so, I mean, this is a big deal here. Now they're almost there right outside the city. And as Luke describes it, what we just heard read from the scripture, it's an almost there moment. The crowd shouting, him coming into the city, the excitement, the power of that moment. And the Gospel of Luke keeps using this one Greek word. The Greek word is engizo, which means to draw near. Luke 19:11, he went on to tell a parable because he was drawing near to Jerusalem. Then in verse 29, when he had drawn near to Bethpage and Bethany, he sent his two disciples ahead. Verse 37, as he was now drawing near to the path down from the Mount of Olives. And then in verse 41, as he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. So the way Luke describes it is Jesus keeps coming near the city, drawing near. And what Jesus does, this drawing near business, it's something that usually we don't want to do. Think of it this way. If you're walking down the street and you see a homeless person kind of camped out there on the sidewalk, what do most of us do? We get a little nervous. We give kind of a wide path to that person. Or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or whomever are going door to door, and you look down the street and you see him coming, and what do most of us do? We turn off the lights and we go hide in the back room. We don't want to come get too close. Or maybe you see someone with his head in his hands, weeping. You think, I don't want to get involved. I want to go the other way. I used to go to this coffee house when I lived in New York State, and one day there was a couple of guys there that they got in a near fight, and there were two rooms in this coffee house, and I was in the other room, but one of them, he had his computer out, and the other one, I think he spilled coffee on this guy and on his computer, and it was an accident, but this guy thought it was on purpose. And now, I was in the next room, and sometimes there are moments I think to myself, when I'm outside of church, I think, okay, what is my duty as a pastor here? Should I insert myself into this situation just because I'm a pastor? Do I have some type of role to play here? So I'm sitting there and I'm reading my book, and it's the next room, it's shouting and cussing, and I could hear what was going on, and I'm thinking, what is my role here as a pastor? You know what I did? I sunk a little lower in the chair and I held the book up over my head. And I think, I don't want to get involved here. I don't want to draw near this business at all. I don't want this. You know, it's sort of like, think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the guy is beat up and he's lying there along the side of the road, half dead. And there's a priest and a Levite that walk by. What do? They go to the other side of the road. They don't want to come near whatever is going on there. But you understand the opposite, though, don't you? When someone does draw near, maybe you've been carrying something in your heart for a long time, something heavy, a worry, a hurt, a sadness. And those things, I mean, we carry them around, don't we? And they're heavy. It's like when I had my cat, and I had him for 15 years, and when I first had him, and I was younger, a little younger then, and I'd go buy the cat litter and the big bag, and I don't know, I think I was just young and wanted to prove I could do it, so I would carry that out. I wouldn't bother with the cart, you know, like, ooh, you know. But it was heavy. I was always so glad when I got to my car and just, you know, throw it in. Now, these days, I'm smarter. I get a cart. But back then, I tried to carry it, and, you know, some of the things that we carry in our hearts are like that heavy load, aren't they? I mean, they weigh us down, and maybe you've got a good friend, and you're alone with your friend, and your friend says, is everything okay? And you say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm nothing to worry about, and your friend says, well, you don't act like you're fine. And you say, well, maybe. And you start to talk with your friend. And that friend, once you start to talk about whatever's going on in your heart, whatever thing you're carrying in your heart, that friend doesn't run away. That friend doesn't run out. That friend doesn't look at his or her watch and say, oh my gosh, look at the time, I gotta go. You know, no, that friend leans closer and says, I care about you. Tell me more. You understand, don't it? You understand what it's like when someone draws near to you, when someone comes near to you with whatever it is you're carrying. When they're like in the Good Samaritan, when the Good Samaritan finally sees that person there on the side of the road, he doesn't walk away, but he stops and he sees and he helps. It's drawing near. Well, here at this moment where we find Jesus draws near. He keeps coming closer. Jesus sees the city. And it says, Luke tells us that he weeps over it. I mean, this is a significant moment, and you know this, and I know this, because I'm sure you've heard the story before. As Jesus draws near the city, he's stepping into rejection, into pain, into death. Sort of like the conversation you've been putting off, where you know you're going to get chewed out, you know, that conversation you keep putting off, and you just want to avoid it. You think to yourself, the last thing I want to do is to have that conversation because I know it's going to be really painful for me. Well, the last thing Jesus would want to do here is he knows what's going to happen. The last thing he would want to do is draw near to the city, because as he draws near to the cross. But in doing so, Jesus draws near, he comes near to us in our mess of life. It's sort of like that friend who shows up, knocks on the door, and when that friend knocks on the door, the dishes are piled up in the sink, and the dirty socks are on the living room floor, and the unpaid bills are piling up there on the kitchen table, and the roof leaks, and the carpet needs replacing, but you can't afford it. And you find your friend there at the door, and you say, go away, come a different day here. I don't want you to see my mess. Well, Jesus comes near to us in our mess. Not in our perfection, not when we had it all together, not when we had everything going right, but Jesus meets us meets humanity and the mess that we have made. In our sin, in our hate, in our greed, in our hurt. That's what Jesus comes near to. And he meets us there. He loves us. He suffers from it. He dies to it. Now, in a week, when we come to Easter, we will celebrate the victory, and we'll celebrate that what put Jesus in the tomb is not the winner, but God's life is ultimately the winner. In a week, we will celebrate all of that, but for the moment here, for the moment, we don't fast forward the movie. We don't go just to the happy ending, but we stay at this moment with Jesus, and we see Jesus. He's almost there. The walls of the city are before him. Crowds are cheering. It's a happy moment. Palm Sunday is a fun day. It's a happy moment. But we know, and he knows, too, what awaits him. But he didn't run away. He didn't turn around. He didn't walk away. No. Jesus draws near. Amen.